Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic, who covers the Tennessee Vols. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. Doing well. Making my way slowly but surely to Auburn, Alabama.
Very nice. So, David, while I have both you and Joe here with me, I want to tell you, we're just a few days away from Thanksgiving. We're almost there. It's almost the perfect time for both of you to dive back into the world that is banana pudding. You have that opportunity this week. I hope you both take advantage of it.
I will not be doing that. I can't think of anything that would ruin Thanksgiving more quickly than banana pudding.
Bless your
This is so bad.
Bless your heart, David. Robbie, you keep talking banana pudding. Make us some good banana pudding,
Fine.
And we'll try it.
All right, I'll do it. That's my responsibility for this week. David, you may get a visit from me in Knoxville next week.
Okay, so good to know.
Just be ready for that. David, let's start with this. I want to ask you, how many times in the last couple of weeks have you been asked about Hugh Freeze? Is it over 100?
His name comes up, let's say that. I mean, I think it's like, you know, it's sort of Tennessee fans' wandering eye. You know, I think the angst was high, but I think certainly Arkansas put Tennessee fans, I think a lot of Tennessee fans anyway, through the looking glass in terms of, well, four games to be played this season, so we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, Hugh Freeze would certainly be the people's choice if Tennessee makes a change in the near future.
Okay, so first of all, you've got the issue with his issues, right, in the SEC office.
Sure.
And forget the whole the reality of Jeremy Pruitt's contract that he's in year three and all that stuff. If you were in a, you know, it was a simple choice. Well, I won't even make the choice between Pruitt and Freeze. I mean, I think, you know, Pruitt has not proven much, but my question, let me change my entire question here as I completely botch this segment, David. Hugh Freeze, why do people think he's that great? There's my question.
Because he won a bunch of games at Ole Miss, and he beat Alabama. He was a thorn in Alabama's side. And I think, too, honestly, part of it is, you know, he got fired not because he wasn't winning games, and I think that's a huge part of it. You know, eventually, you know, everybody gets fired. And, you know, that's like the old adage in coaching. There's two kinds of coaches, coaches who have been fired and coaches who are going to be fired. And that didn't happen to him at Ole Miss. They never saw it go bad at Ole Miss in terms of them losing games. And I think that's a huge part of it, honestly. You know, there's the aspect of, you know, a coach who obviously made a lot of his bones in the state of Tennessee. And, you know, people don't care about the NCAA violations. They don't care about the, we'll call them telephonic indiscretions, I suppose.
Nice.
Like, people don't care about that. People want to win games. You know, and that sort of is what it is. You can make qualms with that, but I think ultimately fans, especially in Tennessee, are just hungry to win. And I think there's an element as well of Tennessee plays a not very aesthetically pleasing brand of football right now. And if you look around the SEC, that is not the trend, and I think certainly Hugh Freeze plays actual fun football. And then, of course, sort of the biggest reason is he's got Liberty on fire and playing a really fun brand of football. Malik Willis, an Auburn transfer, guy that, you know, is not that far off of the Heisman race right now, undefeated. I mean, it's sort of all of those things tied into one. And, it, you know, I understand where Tennessee fans end up there. I think, from a fan's perspective, I think it'd be different than boosters or athletic directors, and in this case, Philip Fulmer, who will be making that decision. And, you know, again, you know, we talked about earlier, there's still four games left. I don't think Tennessee makes a change, but, again, there's four games left. A lot can happen. You know, if they're getting their doors blown off and struggle with Vandy or lose to Vandy, that conversation can change. if you win a couple of these games and you beat Florida or you close the season with a big win over a top five A&M team to keep them out of the playoffs, the conversation changes. I think regardless of how the last four games play out, 2021 is a do-or-die year for Jeremy Pruitt, where he's going to be, you know, more than likely on the hot seat for the majority of that season. But there's still just so many moving parts. But the Hugh Freeze love affair is multifaceted, and I understand it from fans' perspective. Will they be able to, I suppose, consummate that affair? We'll see. But, you know, again, four games left in the season. There's a lot that can happen.
David Oven from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. And, David, you brought up the not aesthetically pleasing way that Tennessee has played as of late. As you look ahead to this matchup tomorrow against Auburn, what do you think the path is to a win for Tennessee in this game? Because I watched this offense and how anemic it's been all season long, and I'm not sure how many points are actually on the table for this group. So what's the pathway to victory for Tennessee in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it can be a low-scoring game. You know, Auburn, you know, Bo Nix never found an off-balance throw he didn't love, and that can be a huge asset for Tennessee. You know, he does look like Jarrett Stidham in some ways, and they were able to take advantage of that. I think Jeremy Pruitt has really defended Gus Malzahn's offense as well, and certainly there's a lot of Chad Morris in this offense, and we'll see what that matchup looks like. They've matched up once back when Chad was at Clemson. So, you know, it's the biggest thing is obviously you got to come close to winning the turnover battle. It's always difficult on the road. But, you know, tennis, there's so many big picture, like, execution issues. And we wrote about this yesterday at The Athletic. Tennessee is doing so many things poorly right now that if they can sort of play up to their talent level a little bit, you know, Tennessee can win. Auburn is not a great team. This is, other than Vanderbilt, this is the worst team Tennessee has left on its schedule. You know, Florida is a really good team. A&M, I think, is pretty good. I'm pretty sure. Maybe. Vanderbilt obviously is not. Auburn, this is the game that Tennessee has the best chance to win that might actually win them a little bit of goodwill. And so we'll see. I mean, again, Tennessee, we've kind of seen this before 2 years ago when they came in here and won this game. And, you know, it's I mentioned yesterday, you know, Tennessee in 2018, the players would always talk about, oh, it's about us. It's about us. We're just not doing things well. And I didn't believe them because their players weren't very good. But in 2020, I think it is about them. Like, they're not playing very well. And if they do play well, they can do some things and really surprise some people, because they're a lot more talented and a lot deeper than they were 2 years ago. And so, you know, I hate to sort of oversimplify it or be vague, but that's kind of where it's at. It's just guys are not doing what they're supposed to do, from the offensive line to the secondary to the receivers to all those things. I think there's some schematic issues offensively, but if Tennessee can just sort of, you know, play assignment football, they'll have a shot in this game.
Yeah, your piece, David, Five Reasons Tennessee's Breakthrough Year Has Given Way to a Breakdown, really digs in on a lot of those issues, most of them offensive. And when you put them all together like that, man, it's like, this is not a group of players that is being maximized by its coaching. I mean, there's no way you could argue that, right? I mean, there's just, and I mean, look, boring can be good. Boring can win, but this isn't just boring. It's also ineffective and losing offense. So my question is, because I think the more realistic situation is Pruitt back under a ton of pressure in a fourth year, mm-hmm. having already switched out a whole bunch of people. Do you think that Jim Chaney's time may be coming to an end? And if so, what kind of coordinator could Pruitt lure to Knoxville given the situation with him?
Well, not a great one. I mean, I've seen coaches in this situation before. You know, at Texas, Charlie Strong backed himself into a corner here. He messed up his offensive coordinator hires, and I don't know that the hire is necessarily the issue. I think it's just more, this is what Jeremy Pruitt wants to run, and I think that there's probably some big-picture issues with that. You know, when you look around at the SEC, can you win playing the style of football that Tennessee wants to play? I don't know how you look around at the SEC. You look at what Florida does. You look at what Alabama does. Even Georgia, you know, when they have better quarterback play, when you look at they want to do, I don't know how you look around the SEC and say, this is a reasonable path to becoming an SEC power. I just don't see it. Obviously, Tennessee disagrees to some extent. And I think, you know, to your first question, no, this team is not playing up to its ability. I mean, you look at this team right now, and you look at 2018's team. This team is a lot more talented, I think. Are they playing better? I mean, I don't think there's that much difference. You know, Tennessee played really good football for about six games in the back half of last season where they were limiting big plays, they were playing really efficient offense. They were mentally tough. You know, they were getting down early in some games. You know, obviously the Indiana game, the Kentucky game stand out as games that they were in pretty big holes, but they kept playing and rallied. And then again this year, you see them when they get in a hole, they just tank. You know, Arkansas makes a charge. Tennessee never really answered. They just kind of fell off and didn't show up. They fall in a 14-0 hole against Kentucky. They get a little bit of a rally, but then they get punched in the face in the first drive of the second half and never are competitive in the second half against a Kentucky team that, you know, it's not a great team. And I think when you look at all those things and you look at this team doesn't look like it's as mentally tough as it was a year ago, and if you match that up against the 2018 team, it doesn't look that much different. And then, of course, I think part of this, you know, the quarterback development issue, people want to get angry at Garantano and all those things. And I understand fans there. But the fact that this staff doesn't have anybody behind him in Trout or Maurer that they can feel good enough to step in when Garantano is struggling or when Garantano throws, you know, consecutive pick six and they don't have anywhere else to go, I mean, that's an indictment of the staff in year three. You can have that issue in year one, but in year three – you've done something wrong. And so, again, there's not one thing. I mean, I think offensive scheme is a big part of it. The offensive line development has stagnated. The quarterbacks have not played well. Defense all of a sudden is having all these busts. The tackling has become an issue. I mean, it's a bunch of, like, kind of, like, there's not a disaster anywhere, but there's maybe the quarterbacks are. But I think there's just a lot of issues in so many places, and you add all those up, and you get a not very good football team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. David Oven from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, appreciate you taking time, as always, to join us, my man. Have fun in Auburn.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And, Joe, if he force feeds you any banana pudding, just let me know, and I will call the authorities.
We'll send him so much pumpkin pie, he won't know what to do.
Oh, man.
You fellas are unbelievable. Unbelievable. See you, man. Thanks, David. Appreciate you. Man.
See y'all.
I don't even know what to do with you two anymore. Just the slander of banana pudding. It's unbelievable.
I got you, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you, Borth.
It's all talk, man. Show me the good banana pudding.
All right. When we come back, we'll dive back into the matchup for Tennessee against Auburn this weekend. Also, some big news potentially, maybe on the Titans front. We'll get into that on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think I've used this phrase before, but he better win. And I say that because Auburn is not a great team. They've had some COVID issues because their game was scrubbed last week. They did lose to South Carolina. They've had some impressive wins. I mean, they're very inconsistent. They probably should have lost to Ole Miss, probably should have lost to Arkansas. I mean, they're beatable. And I say you better win because you have a four-game losing streak. And the Texas A&M game, I presume, will be played at some point. He's also got Florida. Those are not winnable games. So I think of the important remaining games, this is probably the most winnable.
That was Paul Feinbaum from ESPN, the SEC Network, on with Darren Donick and Chase, breaking down the importance of this matchup for Jeremy Pruitt as Tennessee heads to face Auburn tomorrow. Now, I do want to pass along some breaking news very quickly. Philip Fulmer, Tennessee Volunteers athletic director, has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, Fulmer put out a statement saying that he is at home, he is feeling fine, asymptomatic up until this point, and that he's working remotely, but Philip Fulmer has tested positive for COVID-19. So, obviously, thoughts and prayers with Philip Fulmer. Hope he continues to feel fine and that he makes a full recovery here.
Man, it is, you know, obviously an older person there, so you have more concern, and it is just everywhere right now.
It is. Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Vols fans, would a win tomorrow at Auburn change your opinion on Jeremy Pruitt as Tennessee's head coach? Your choices are absolutely. The jury will still be out and still won't be the guy. So far, 47% of the vote says the jury will still be out. 43% says still won't be the guy. And 10% say absolutely a win against Auburn changes their view on Jeremy Pruitt. Joe, your response to our poll question.
That 10%, my goodness, they must whistle zippity-doo-dah every morning when they wake up. I love the sunshine from that crew. Love it.
You beat a very average Auburn team, and man, I feel so much better about Jeremy Pruitt.
Natty and 22. Let's go.
He's the guy. Yeah, I am all here for it. I'll be honest with you. Like, I've said it here on the show this week. I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's the guy. The Arkansas game did it for me. Now, I also don't believe he's going to be fired this year. But going on the road tomorrow and beating Auburn, that does not change my opinion one iota of Jeremy Pruitt. And I think David Ubbin said it best in the last segment. They're not really doing anything well right now. There's not really a disaster anywhere other than quarterback. But there's a whole lot of bad football being played out there. And when you have that, to me, that's on coaching. And I think regardless of what happens the rest of this year, Jeremy Pruitt absolutely entering next season on the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's not beating Texas A&M or Florida. So I shouldn't say regardless of what happens this year, but regardless of what happens in a realistic sense.
Exactly. Yeah, if he somehow pulls off, you know, beats Florida, okay, you know, then we can revisit that. But yeah, the best case scenario looks like 4-6. But I tell you what, 4-6 still sounds a whole lot better than 3-7, and obviously better than 2-8 and losing to Vanderbilt. So I still think this is a really important game for him.
I think it is too. And for nothing else, just stop the bleeding. Like right now, that's right. What it's about here with this Tennessee football program. They've had so many problems on the field. You've had the negative reaction of your assistant coaches over the weekend. The fan base is already obsessively tweeting at Hugh Freeze. Like there's just a lot going on right now with Tennessee football, like there typically is. This win against Auburn on Saturday at least stops the bleeding. I'm not sure it changes that much in the big picture, but you finally have some sort of positive news go your way, and it's been a while since that's been the case for Tennessee football.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like forever, you know? And, again, I mean, even having some kind – I mean, I do think that we've seen so many weeks of this offense – do so many things that are deficient and subpar and below expectations. I mean, anybody who's looking at this whole thing and saying, it's just Garantano. I mean, I think that you're not looking at the big picture. It's bigger than that. And so anything you can do on that side of the ball would be a welcome change. That's become, you know, the defense has been frustrating because I think it should be better, but the offense has become just flat out hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really bad. I mean, it's one of the worst offenses in the SEC. And with the improvement Vanderbilt's made the last couple of weeks, Tennessee's offense may be the worst offense in the SEC. I would probably put Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Mississippi State in that discussion.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, after watching Vanderbilt score 35 on Kentucky and then what they did the week before, they're figuring some things out. Yep. They're getting better. And I think it's Tennessee and Mississippi State is the clear bottom two. Now, Vanderbilt's defense is the worst in the league. But, I mean, at least there's some plays being made, some excitement to be had there. Tennessee has way too many good players for it to be this stodgy and pedestrian.
So let's go to some breaking news right now in the world of the Titans. Gentry Estes of the Tennessean, friend of the show here on Robbie and Rex Road, has come out with a piece talking about former Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease. Now, Joe, we get text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Multiple times per week asking about Dean Pease. The Titans should go get him out of retirement and bring him back. And our response has always been, hey, you know, that's probably not going to happen this time around. I mean, he's retired. It seems like he's comfortable with what he's doing. And the Titans are 9 weeks into a season. They're not going to get Dean Pease. But it sounds like, according to an article on the Tennessean by Gentry Estes, Dean Pease not having a whole lot of fun right now in retirement. And you can understand why. I mean, COVID has shut down the world. He wanted to do some traveling, go overseas a little bit. They haven't been able to do that, obviously. So basically, I mean, Dean Pease has been sitting around the house doing some puzzles, watching some football, and playing golf every now and then. And has an interesting quote in here with Gentry Estes and says, quote, "I'll be honest with you, I miss it. I miss it a lot. If the right situation came along, I would certainly consider it," talking about coming out of retirement. "I'll put it that way. I don't know that I'd do it, but I'm not saying that I wouldn't at least consider it." So those are very interesting comments from former Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease. What do you make of that story, Joe? And what do you make of the possibility of maybe Dean Pease coming out of retirement after all?
Okay, well, first let me call. First of all, good job by Gentry. Good interview. Very interesting quote that you just cited there. You know, he also has a quote later in the story: "I miss the guys, I miss the players." He went to the Bears game, and you know that probably clearly brought some sort of, you know, some emotions on. Man, missing the game. Let me call a shot though, because I know people will read this and say, "Get him in here in time for the Colts, and we will dominate that game." It's not going to be this year. I mean, Mike Vrabel's not calling him and saying, "Hey, would you come right now, Dean, and make it clear so I can tell everybody that I totally botched this and just be our emergency DC?" Like, this year is what it is.
No people, chance? You don't think there's any chance? Oh,
there's zero chance.
Man.
There's zero chance that Vrabel would even call him to say, "Hey, man, please save us right now." I also agree. I'm going to go with Floyd Reese and what he said a lot about this. I mean, look, Dean Pease matters a lot. He's a great defense coordinator. They miss him. They made a mistake not hiring a defensive coordinator. Bring him in right at this moment, and you tell me they're all of a sudden going to be some lockdown defense. They got players who can't win at the line of scrimmage, can't cover people, okay? So let's also keep that in perspective. But this does make it interesting for next year. I mean, you know, if he still feels this way in the summer, I mean, I think it would absolutely make sense for Vrabel to give him a call and say, "Hey, I got you out of retirement once. How about again?" You know, that would solve the problem that obviously Vrabel had an issue with, which is going out and trying to find a DC. But, yeah, I read this whole thing, and it's a good job, and people are going to take it that far. I'm going to say it right now, zero chance that he comes in this year.
Man, I don't know. If I'm Vrabel, I may at least pick up the phone and gauge exactly what his interest level is. I mean, it's not like you'd have to come in and just and change everything once he got in. I might pick up the phone.
Yeah, I mean, pick up the phone and talk about stuff, and you can talk. But like, I think it's asking a lot, and it's just even with this, him missing the game, and I'd consider it, you know, at some point, like the idea that he'd be like, "All right, hey, we're getting you on a train out here right now, Dean." I don't know what train. It's like the 1920s.
Yeah, that's what we're going to. The train.
Put you on a train, Dean. Take your time to think about it. So you don't get here too fast. I don't think it's realistic. I don't. Hey, I could be wrong. I don't think he would do that because of what it says.
We'll continue to discuss this a little bit later in the show. We've got to get to Pigskin Pick'em coming up next, but about 9:45, we'll dive back into this conversation because I think it's an interesting one regarding the Titans and Dean Pease. When we come back, that time of the week, Pigskin Pick'em coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ah, yes, that time of the week, Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got our picks for this weekend of both college football and NFL football. Let's quickly turn it over to Joe Rex Road for a very quick standings update. Joe, take it away.
Yeah, not going well for me, I can tell you that much, after that nice 1-4, missing my lock again. So as of now, it is a very close race. We are looking at Morth, 19-21, 24 points, 5-3 on locks. Robbie is second with 23 points. He has an overall of 17-23, but 6-2 on his locks. I am in last place with 22 points. I'm 18-22, but 4-4 on the locks. So it's very close and all together not very impressive.
Tight race. It's going to come down to the wire this season. Who can be the most impressive of the least impressive? That's what we do here on this show. Let's start with Auburn and Tennessee this week. Auburn, a 10.5-point favorite. Joe, let's start with you. Where are you going in this one?
I have a feeling I'm solo on this one. But maybe not. But I think I may stand alone here. I certainly can see the scenario where the Vols cave in and just don't have any juice left and hear all the negativity about their coach and they can't figure anything out on offense. And, you know, as someone pointed out earlier, I mean, Auburn boat raced LSU. They're capable of doing that. But I think Tennessee is competitive. I think Tennessee fights in this game. I think that Tennessee can run the ball on Auburn. You know, it's a running theme. Like, this team should run the ball, and they should. And, you know, I think if Garantano can hang in there and play like he did before he got hurt at Arkansas, I think Tennessee can keep this game within 10. So give me the Vols and the 10.5 points.
I majorly violated my own rule the last time Tennessee was on the board against Arkansas. I picked the Vols, and I locked the game. You're not going to ever see me do that again. Give me Auburn in this game. If Auburn scores more than 24 points in this game, they'll win by 10 because Tennessee's offense can't score. They're not very good. Give me Auburn in this game minus the 10.5. Porth.
Auburn.
Oh, Porth going with lock early.
Ooh. Auburn lock covering the 10.5.
I like it. I think it makes me nervous because you never know which Auburn team's going to show up either, but bold strategy there by Porth coming right out of the gate. Florida and Vanderbilt. Now, this line is very interesting, perhaps very tricky. Florida is a 31.5-point favorite against Vanderbilt. Porth, we'll start with you. Which way are you going in this game?
I have gone against Vanderbilt every week since taking over for Team Morth.
You have.
And it's almost been like default of whoever they're playing, whatever the spread is, go against Vanderbilt. 31 points is a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
A lot of points. I'm going to take Vandy.
Ooh. Coming back around. How about you?
That is a lot of points.
That is a lot of points.
Even though Vandy isn't very good.
Joe, who you got in this game? Florida minus 31.5.
Yeah, I've had some tough calls. And last week, I was right there to take them and the points at Kentucky. I blew it. I didn't. I got the W by taking them at Mississippi State. I think this one's easy. 31.5 is, man, unless Dan Mullen just really wants to make it ugly here, you know, that's just a big, big number. So I got Vanderbilt in 31.5.
I think Dan Mullen really wants to make it ugly here. I think this offense has been unbelievable. For Florida, Vanderbilt's defense, Florida could name their score in this game. If they wanted to put up 80 points, they could do it. I don't think they put up 80, but I do think they get into the 60s, and I think that's going to be enough to cover the spread. Give me Florida in this game, even minus the 31.5. I don't feel great about it, but I'm taking Florida.
It could be 41-10, and Vandy still covers.
I think Florida might have 41 in the second quarter.
Okay.
So
it could be 61-30.
Yeah, could be. Still don't cover. Moving ahead to Titans and Ravens, the big matchup here locally of the week in the NFL. Ravens favored by 5.5. I will start on this one, and look, I think this is going to be a pretty competitive game. I think the Titans are going to be able to run the ball in this game. I think the Ravens have struggled offensively. I do think they'll be better this week going up against the Titans defense. That outside of what is the worst offense in modern NFL history in the Chicago Bears, hasn't been able to stop anyone. But I do think the Titans will be able to do enough to cover in this game. I think the Ravens win by 3, but give me the Titans to cover in this game. Ravens minus 5.5. So there you go. I think it's going to be close, but the Ravens edge it out in the end. Ryan Porth, who do you got?
So 5.5, huh?
5.5.
It was at 6.5 a day or two ago.
It was. It's now at 5.5.
I don't care what the spread is. The Titans are covering, and they are winning.
Ooh. Like it. Calling the shot for the Titans' victory.
Yes.
Does that count as another called shot for you?
I called it at 7:45.
You didn't say they were
going to
win.
I said Ryan Tannehill was going to orchestrate a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter.
Okay, I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Joe Rexroad, Titans and Ravens. Ravens minus 5.5. Who you got?
Hey, listen, when you have 17 called shots, we lose track.
Yeah,
you
know? It's hard to keep up.
Cut us a break.
Fair point.
I will say that horse confidence all week after his dread totally turned out to be the right instinct last week gives me pause. But I tell you what, I think the Ravens are going to run all over the Titans. And I think that's the difference in this game. I still think that, you know, their offense has its limitations and the Titans will be more confident on that side of the ball than they have been in a lot of matchups. I think they'll run it and it will be a competitive game, but ultimately I think the Ravens are going to win by a touchdown. So give me the Ravens giving the 5.5.
All righty. Joe going with the Ravens there. Now let's move to college football where we head our separate ways potentially in this matchup. Joe, let's start with you. Who do you have in college football this week?
Well, this week the theme for me is do what works for you, because when you come off a 1-4, you got to go back to the bread and butter, and what do you do well? And what I do well is I find Cincinnati Bearcats lines that are ridiculous, and I hit them hard. And right now they are -6 at UCF. They are going to blow past that line, win handily. Give me the Bearcats as my lock.
Ooh.
Guaranteed.
Joe going to the well he typically goes to, and that is locking in his college football pick of the week. I like it. I respect that.
I hope you're right.
Porth, who you got college football this week? Did he just steal your pick?
No, he did not.
Ooh.
I thought about a couple SEC games, but I'm going down the dangerous path of the Big 12 again.
Oh, boy.
Oklahoma, touchdown favorites at home against Oklahoma State. Oklahoma has figured out their offense here in their last couple games. They also have to figure out their defense, but I don't think Oklahoma State is as good as their 5-1 record shows. So give me the Sooners. -7.
I don't think anybody in the Big 12 has figured out their defense. That's just kind of
they
a typical
haven't for
thing.
The last 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a constant theme with that conference. I like that pick. I'm going to go in the SEC. I look at this week, and there are some interesting matchups from a spread perspective in the SEC, but one that sticks out to me, I think LSU sucks. I don't think they're very good. They're going on the road to Arkansas in this game. LSU's had all sorts of issues this year. Give me the Razorbacks at home. +2.0 against LSU. I think Arkansas wins outright. As a matter of fact, I think Arkansas wins by a touchdown or more. I like Arkansas in this game. I don't really understand how LSU's favored. They've been awful. Give me the Razorbacks. You like it? Nobody likes that pick?
It's fine.
Yeah, no.
No.
Okay.
I looked at that. That was one of the SEC games that I looked at.
All right, moving along to the NFL now, and I'll start out on this one. There are some interesting picks. And I think it's a good week to be an underdog in the NFL. I thought about going with my beloved Green Bay Packers +1.5 against Indy. I'm not going to go that route. Give me the Dolphins against the Broncos. Dolphins -3.5 against the Broncos. I think the Dolphins are playing really well right now. I think Tua's got that offense humming. And I think the Dolphins' defense is a lot better than people give them credit for. Give me the Dolphins -3.5 and make it my lock. I got a lot of confidence.
Yeah!
In the Miami Dolphins this week.
All right.
Ryan Porth, who you got?
And Drew Lock stinks.
Drew Lock's awful.
This head-to-head series can be unpredictable and wacky every single year. Give me the Falcons +4 in New Orleans.
Ooh. No faith in Taysom Hill.
I mean, not really. Also, the Falcons are playing better football since they fired Dan Quinn. So. Division game. I think it's going to be tight. I think the Falcons at least cover.
I like it. Joe, who you got in the NFL?
I like that too. Hey, like I said, you go with what works. What worked for me last week? One thing. The Minnesota Vikings. And they are home -7 against those Dallas Cowboys. I understand that get some Andy Dalton back in there and it may change things a little bit, but I really like how the Vikings are playing. They're running it. Kirk Cousins is throwing it. The defense is become solid now, and I love the Vikings at home -7.
I like it. The Vikings playing much better football now for sure. I thought they were dead and gone earlier in the season, but they're sneaking their way back into the NFC playoff race. Gentlemen, we wish you the best of luck this weekend in Pigskin Pick'em. It was quite frankly an embarrassing performance for us last week. I hope for the sake of all of us, we do a little bit better this week. I feel like we had some good
twos. I think we will.
I think we will, too. I think we had some good picks.
We got some interesting opposing picks, though, with the teams around here. Very interesting. We can't all do well.
No, we can't. I'm looking forward to finally going 5-0 this week. Been looking forward to it all year. I think this is the week it may happen for me. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Dean Pease discussion. Should the Titans give him a call and gauge his interest on what becoming a defensive coordinator could look like for him, maybe as soon as this year? Also, big playoff game tonight for Nashville SC. That's coming up next. But first, November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and the Predators Foundation needs your help towards the Smashville Donates campaign. Visit NashvillePredators.com/365Fund to make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily. Purchase Hockey Fights Cancer gear or learn more. You can also bid on silent auction items by texting PREDS to 76278. Follow at PREDS Foundation on Twitter and Instagram for more info. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road, live from Virginia. He'll be at the game on Sunday between the Titans and the Ravens. Joe, you've done a very good job all show. Quality's been great. Technology's been handled wonderfully by you. Nice job.
Well, thank you. You know, I did, of course. Chase McCabe went through all this effort to put together a nice headset and all this stuff for me, and I left it. I left it at home, and I was in a bit of a freak out. I called Porth, and it's just like, I mean, by this time I was in Knoxville yesterday, so
I thought Joe was about to cry when I was on the phone with him. He's like, I am so mad.
Every bit of credit I just gave you out the door.
Like
I didn't know that.
For 30 seconds, Joe just kept telling me how mad he was. And I'm like, Joe, just get to it. What? Joe, Breon Borders, go.
Breon Borders, go.
Listen, I had a load of anger on my mind. And, I will say I thank you, my brother-in-law, who has a really sweet gaming headset that I'm using. And also, I would like to give a shout-out to my middle child, my son Brennan, and my nephew Liam. They did try to destroy my bedroom where I'm doing a show with fart spray last night, but they have not sabotaged the show with more fart spray, which was my fear today.
You are not going to go quietly into the night because of the fart spray.
Exactly, and it has mostly dissipated by now. That stuff lingers, man.
It is rank, as the kids like to say. Not very.
I mean, he actually sprayed it under my bed. Like, seriously, like the disrespect for parents these days.
I think my father would have tossed me out a window had I done that.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Oh man, the joys of traveling and being around teenage children got to be fun. Joe, we were talking a couple segments ago about Dean Pease, Gentry Estes of the Tennessean, putting out the article that's quoting Dean Pease saying, you know, retirement's not going quite the way he thought it would, obviously with COVID and basically having to stay home, play golf every now and then, do puzzles, whatever the case may be, watch a little football, and said, you know, maybe there's a chance you come out of retirement. Not saying that he would do it, not saying that it's something that would be immediate, but not saying that he also wouldn't listen. And that's certainly, I think, different than most Titans fans and certainly us here in the media viewed it. If there's a chance that the Titans could get Dean Pease back, should they take that chance, whether it's this year or heading into next year, Joe? How would you go about handling this if you're Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, and the Titans?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have two answers. This year, no. But next year, yeah. I mean, next year, if he – is serious. And look, I do think when you read the piece from Gentry, did a nice job with it. Good interview, good information. When you read it, this does certainly smack some of COVID has ruined retirement and it sucks.
Right.
You know, I mean, like if not for the pandemic, Dean Pease may be having a ball as a retired grandfather right now, and it's just not been good. So I do. You know, you also think about when life hopefully returns to normal, hopefully soon, does that sort of change his perspective too? But yeah, I would say certainly you explore it because he did a great job here. As far as the thing about this year, I said earlier, like I don't see Vrabel even like addressing the idea of, hey, Dean, please come in right now and save the day.
But why not? And the defense has been so bad.
Yeah. Look, Dean Pees did a great job. And they, I'm sure that there would be some things that would be better this year with Dean Pees had he been there all along coordinating the defense and all that stuff. The idea that you're going to bring this guy in right now and all of a sudden, oh, snap your fingers. Well, look at that. Look at the pass rush they've got. Look at the way they're covering downfield. Dean Pees, how did you do it? I mean, he's a good defensive coordinator, great defensive coordinator. The idea that there's going to be some instant snap your fingers thing when really the problem here more than anything is personnel not winning in these matchups that you have to win at in this league, I think it's look, I think he knows that. I think Vrabel knows that. And you would have totally unrealistic expectations on top of saying, you know, Shane, step aside. I mean, the whole thing to me is it's a between this season and next season realistic conversation.
Right, but like I don't think anybody's asking Dean Pees to come in here and make this defense like top 10. It can't be awful. And right now it's atrocious. Don't you think Dean Pees could help it a little bit? Like coming in and making it maybe to the point where it's at least adequate enough to stay in some of these games and not just absolutely kill you game in and game out?
I'm sure he could help it some. But again, this is where, you know, I would like, I mean, this kind of begs more from Dean, because I would be willing to bet he thinks just like I do right now. Like, no, I'm not jumping in right now. I mean, it's just, you know, because the expectations would be unrealistic, and it's a bad situation to me to come in. Yes, he knows a lot of these guys. He was with a lot of them before, so it's not like you're coming in cold. But I think that you've got these people in the room right now, and they've got to figure it out. And I'm sure like play calling would be better on Sundays and they'd have some different things in their game plans. He's obviously very good at dialing up blitzes. I can't believe that he would even look at it like, oh yeah, bring me in right now. Let me save the day. I could be wrong. I think that a lot of people are going to take it there. And I don't think that's what this is. I think this is 2021.
All right, so I've got a hypothetical. Hear me out. It might be a stretch, but what if – I'm just throwing this out there. What if all along this was a part of the plan?
Ooh, conspiracy theory. I like that.
That Dean Pees, yes, he, quote, retired, but what if he said – or kept the door open at the end of last season with Mike Vrabel –
And that's why he didn't go hire a defensive coordinator?
Correct.
That's a heck of a risk to take, I think, if you're Mike.
I think it's a heck of a risk, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Joe, what do you make of that?
I think you've called a few too many shots today, Forrest.
Okay. Do you think I've consumed too many shots today?
I was going to say, and maybe had a couple too. I don't know. That's it is an interesting thought. I mean, I don't think that's true. I mean, look, I really think that Dean Pees, I mean, just the way he talked last year when he was done, certainly, he's leaving a team that could be a Super Bowl contender that got one step away from it. And yet, I had no doubt after his press conference that he was all in on retirement and all the things that come with it. And again, he had to be unretired to take this job. So I don't. Now, maybe, I suppose, did Vrabel have that in the back of his mind? I could maybe buy that. But I also, I really don't think Vrabel would seriously consider making that ask this year. I really don't.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Maybe it ends up being nothing. Maybe Dean Pees stays in retirement and nothing ever comes of it. But if I'm the Titans, I'm making that call right now and at least kind of seeing what his mindset is and where he's coming from on that. And who knows? Maybe they've done that already and maybe it happens next year. We'll just have to wait and see with that. Let's quickly go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon text in, says Titans by 20 against the Ravens on Sunday. Joe, Heidi, a lot of confidence in the Titans.
Wow, Heidi. Heidi comes with takes every day. So I appreciate you, Heidi, especially as we move forward and I get less and less convinced that you are Jared Stillman.
Big game tonight for Nashville SC against Inter Miami CF. You can hear it starting at 7:45 with pregame coverage here on both ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9. Joe, Miami missing some key guys tonight due to COVID-19. Big opportunity in the first ever playoff game for MLS here in Nashville. You can also catch the game on ESPN2. I'm looking forward to watching this one tonight.
Absolutely, me too. It's a huge one, a chance to win a playoff game in the first year. You're going to have some fan presence in there, which is great.
Yeah.
And should be exciting. It's been a really fascinating season for this side, and you know, it's already a great achievement. I feel like it's a little bit of house money, and that team is missing some guys, so take advantage.
Absolutely, take advantage. Then another playoff game potentially next week against Toronto. So we'll see how the boys in gold do tonight at home at Nissan Stadium. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back on Monday. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.